casa.
We started in New York City, and we're ending in my home state, Texas.
Yep.
And what an amazing way to end it. So thank you guys so much for being here and all the support you've given us. Really.
Yeah, it's great. We have some of Ronnie's family here.
Chosen family is here.
We have some people who were at one of our very earliest shows. I mean, it's just great to see all the support through the years, the 10 years. It's been really amazing.
Family, chosen family, gay family, Crappin's family, family.
This has already been a crazy Texas trip. I'll tell you, this is our third stop on this tour through Texas.
We started in Austin, which, of course, great. You know, used to Austin, Houston. Then we come here. Dallas has its own shit here.
Yes.
You don't give a shit about the rest of what Texas is doing. I said, I forgot what it's like being in Dallas. We're such schlubs. I mean, look at us. Like, I'm in my old Navy pants from yesterday and, like, some T-shirt from online that my cousin made me.
I'm wearing my T-shirt from The Roundup.
The Roundup.
Thank you very much.
He's wearing a T-shirt from a place where husbands get their dick sucked.
Yep.
And I know the boys that done it. And you guys are so fancy here. We were in our hotel, and we came down the elevator, and there is this guy standing in, like, skin-tight, what do you call that material he was wearing? It's like skin-tight,
like
flannel.
Rayon.
Not paisley, but what's the word?
It was like a tartan pattern.
Tartan, yeah.
Tartan.
Like up to his belly button, you know, was short, like his ankles are showing. And I was like, queen. And this is a straight guy, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, I forgot what this place was like. I mean, we need to make an effort. I didn't even wear a bra today.
Meanwhile, my ego is, like, out of control now. Like, we walked up to the theater, and there was this big line. It was like 5:30, and I was like, oh, my God, they're, like, already lining up for us? There is someone next door who has 4 million followers on Instagram. And I'm like, oh, my God. Thank you.
They're like, hi, thanks for
coming.
Hi. Thank you.
They're like, you're not Jaden.
But his name is spelled like Jaxton, and I was like, it's a sign. You know? It's a sign. Jax is going to come again. No, thank God.
We're the number one guy of this
Jax has done so much coke, he'll probably never come again. Let's be honest.
That is true.
Throw stones when you live in a dime bag. You know what I'm saying?
So you guys, this is the end of our Hunky Dory 10-year anniversary tour. This is our final night. So, it's been like a crazy ride. Like, this is the hardest we've ever worked in our lives. It's been so fun. Look, Ronnie's already, he's done.
Watching Housewives every day.
Oh, you don't even know,
almost like adding numbers, you know?
It's so much work for a poor little toddler to do.
And you know how we started this? We started this on fucking Broadway, which is crazy.
Yes.
Literally.
We did it literally a show on Broadway.
When we came out, we were lucky enough to get a toast by Dorinda Medley.
She kicked off the tour with a toast to our Broadway audience.
And so we were talking about earlier, like, how do we, like, come out here and apologize that we don't have a toast from Dorinda Medley for the fun? Like, we have to finish it off with a toast. Well, we're going to finish it off with a toast.
Is there a doctor in the house?
Please welcome Dr.
Please
Tiffany
welcome
Moon.
Dr. Tiffany Moon. Here you go.
Right in the middle, little moon sandwich.
I just realized I think I was speaking on the wrong mic.
I brought some refreshments.
Oh, wait, here's your mic. Here's your mic.
I brought some refreshments. Hello.
Tell us what this wonderful refreshment is.
Oh, this happens to be a 2020 Sauvignon Blanc. Oh, can I get this in real life? this is a 2020 Sauvignon Blanc made by yours truly from Three Moons Wine. It's sold out, but I happen to know somebody who knows somebody.
Yes.
Cheers, ladies.
Cheers. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers. Cheers.
Thank you all for coming here tonight. Yes, raise those glasses in the air. Cheers.
Mm. What do you think?
I like
better than church. Better than church.
I'm not saying this because you're here. It's really delicious. It really is.
Oh, it really is. A little effervescence.
Yeah.
Sweet to my palate.
It reminds me of my favorite Pinot Grigio, okay? Ramona Pinot Grigio. So, Tiffany, what's been up? What have you been up to the past year or so?
Oh, just enjoying my time off screen.
Yeah.
Making a couple of TikToks.
Yeah.
Saving lives at the hospital occasionally.
Yeah, it's like crazy. Like, you're like a real doctor.
A real doctor.
A real doctor.
I don't just play one on TV.
Yeah, you're like a legit Clooney doctor.
Uh-huh. If any of y'all go down tonight, I got you.
It's like my dream.
Be careful what you say. This is a finale night. These fuckers are going to be drunk.
Yeah.
We came into this, it's like a punk club, you know, and they're partying really hard here, and they're like, whatever, podcast. So I was like, watch out, you're going to have to drag some barfing bitches out of here.
You will, we expect
fingers
it.
Crossed.
So I have lots of questions about Dallas.
Oh, God.
So first and foremost, are you still in contact with anyone from the cast?
Just Deandra.
Okay.
Oh, I like that you're in touch with Deandra.
Well, I like that. It's sort of
the same as before I joined the show.
That's right, because you knew Deandra first.
And Mama D.
And Mama D.
The seventh housewife.
That's right. We had Mama D at our last Dallas show, if people remember. By the way, I like saying just Deandra because it sort of sounds like it's a hair product. I use just Deandra.
Just Deandra.
Carmine, good morning.
You can buy it on the 700 Club.
Everything. From Mama D.
This is how Jesus moisturized.
Did you enjoy your time on the show? You were on for a season. Everyone loved you. And it was like, I personally was very sad. Well, I've always actually really loved The Real Housewives of Dallas. And I felt like you came on and you were so good. And then the show's done. Made me very sad. Did you enjoy your time on it?
I mean, it just seemed like a full party the whole time.
Can we do that?
I can't imagine why not.
Can you do that thing where you just drink instead of answer the question?
Yes.
No, this is not a Lisa Rinna game. This is an actual...
Never have I ever hated being on The Real Housewives of Dallas.
Can't drink now. Not yet. Wait for the Peacock reboot.
Yeah, I'll just be Ronnie and I.
Don't hold your breath.
Oh...
So you came at such a crazy time in the world.
Yes.
And also in a crazy time of Housewives, because it was the first time that Bravo was like, hey, everyone's not white.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So you were the first, and it's crazy living in a world that's not white. I mean, you're in a city that's not white, and it's like the TV network is just figuring out it's not all white.
Mm-hmm.
And so did you feel like kind of an odd experiment, like kind of they're throwing you into this odd experiment and just seeing how you do? Did you feel any kind of support in that way you would probably need it, being thrown into a situation really fast like that?
Yeah, no on the support question.
Yeah.
You know, when my friend Deandra asked me to be on the show, she billed it to me as a fun and fluffy show where I could let my hair down and we'd get invited to these fashion red carpet events and I'd make these new girlfriends and every year they would take you on a fabulous international trip. And I was like, she asked me for 3 years before I finally said yes. And I was like, okay, I'll finally do it. Well, that was right before COVID happened.
Mm-hmm.
My fabulous international cast trip was to Oklahoma.
Girl.
Sorry if y'all from Oklahoma, but that ain't it for me.
Talk about a place just figuring out there's more than white people.
Yes. Yes. And then they dropped little old me into all this, and they were like, you be our token person of color.
Right.
Explain racism to everyone.
Right.
Wait, no, now you're the racist for making fun of your own mother. And I was like, what?
It seemed like Cameron took the lessons pretty well, right?
She's doing great.
She understood.
Yeah, she seems
She definitely understood the assignment.
You know what? Sparkle Dog has to go through a lot, too.
Girl.
It's so hard, like, moving into a $7 million house.
Yeah.
My dream home.
My dream home. What if we don't get it?
I have to get back.
Quirk.
Oh.
What was she so upset with Korda? You killed my dog. What'd she say to you?
Yeah, because Korda, like, because like she went away to like to get her nails done, and she came back, and her dog was dead. Kurt.
We're horrible people.
Dumb blondes.
That was terrible.
But. I mean.
Yeah, so that was a lot. So, I don't mean to drag it into the most negative place ever.
No,
it was fun in some moments. I don't mean to like shit on my
parents. What were the highlights? What were the fun parts? Super fun parts.
My birthday party where I blacked out.
Oh, that was a good one. Fun.
And then the whole scene where Deandra like cussed her mom out.
Oh, that was.
I was not present for that scene. I know you saw me in the background stumbling around, but then when I watched that, I was like, oh my God, Deandra, how could you? You're supposed to respect your elders.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, that was
lived it. I was like, I lived this scene. I knew the whole script. You fucking bitch.
And then Deandra, oh my God, that was the scene where Mama D was like, well, your name was Callaway until you decided you want to sleep your way to the top, Deandra. She's like, mother.
Yes, when she so when good. Mama D was like, well, girls, what you really need to know is the way to get a man, wait outside his hotel room. I was like, whoa.
Sit on the curb.
Pretend you're pregnant. It's like, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Mama D. Murder his staff. It's like, okay, it's getting dark.
Oh, God, I do.
But yeah, so I've noticed on Instagram, you're actually friends with a lot of the Real Housewives. Did you meet just kind of at events and stuff, the different cities? And
yes, when Dallas was airing, I had a lot of the other Housewives, OG and relatively new ones, like Crystal Kung Minkoff and Ebony, reach out to me and be like, girl, we are on your side. Like, we are watching this shit go down, and we feel for you. Like, how do you feel? Are you okay? Do you want to talk about it? And I'm like, no, I don't want to talk about it. So I'm now friends with a lot of housewives, even though before becoming a housewife, I never really was a watcher of the franchise.
Oh, you sucker. You're an absolute sucker. That's how they get people like you. Cause you know, as a watcher, you watch a show and you're like, how did they get her? You know?
Right.
Cause you really don't watch. Cause a lot of people say they don't watch.
I really didn't watch.
Okay. I believe you.
Is there anyone that you would like want to meet or become friends with in like the Real Housewives extended universe?
I mean, people always ask me if I could join another cast, which one would I join? And it's Beverly Hills, like no doubt. They have the best fashion.
I think you'd be great on Beverly Hills, actually.
I'm actually friends with Crystal and Lisa. This is Lisa Rinna Lipkit, by the way.
Oh.
I know.
Hashtag
not sponsored.
Were people putting lip gloss on in your bathroom?
No, and it's weird. You feel like you're in a little sorority, kind of. Mm-hmm. I met Megan King Edmonds.
Megan King Edmonds from the Real House.
Was that a disgusted boo or like a ooh?
See, but like when I met her, she was just a new girl that I was meeting. Like I didn't know that she like got married a lot or got divorced a lot or. I didn't know that. I just met her at an event, and she was lovely.
She is lovely. I didn't have these preconceived notions. She's iconic. You know how gay people are always like gay Bravo people. I mean, like we're not gay Bravo.
Yeah, you know gay Bravo people.
But usually it's like, oh my God, icon, glitter. She's amazing, angel. She is iconic because she exposed Vicky's fiance's fake cancer. And every time that season she would come on to expose something, she would wear this headband.
Yes.
And it was like a very just like, I'm a conservative, but it was like, I know the truth. It was like we called it the justice headband. So we will always respect Megan King.
And then she came back like two seasons ago on OC and she was wearing like a train conductor's hat.
You gotta
respect that, you know?
See, I don't know them as housewives. I just meet them as people at events that I go to. And it's weird. And people are like, ooh, don't be friends with her. She's got all this blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, let me just meet someone and, like, find out for myself. And they're like, okay, you find out for yourself then.
Yeah, well, that's a journey, you know? Now, backstage, you did mention that you are a big fan of another franchise that may have just finished its second amazing season.
Yes.
Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
It's because it's the only... Salt Lake City is the only franchise that I've watched from season one. right? Okay. So I never watched any of the shows before I was on. So when they talk about like these, you know, did you do lines of cocaine in the bathroom? I'm like, what? What are you talking about? But for Salt Lake,
you're current.
I'm current, and I know, and I don't have to watch like 10 seasons ago. So
right.
I
do you have any favorites on the show?
I don't. I sort of.
Smart
I no. I love Whitney for her comedic relief. what?
Time to
what
start
happened?
The show. Really good to meet you. Thanks for the candle. Bye.
You know, Jenny and I were friends for a minute until I figured out that she was not a good person.
Yeah. she was unhelpable.
Yeah.
You know, but I like their dynamic.
Their dynamic is amazing.
Like,
let's be honest.
Had we have been able to have that sort of dynamic, we would not have gotten canceled.
Would you ever wear a Brooks Marks tracksuit?
Oh, I have. Brooks Marks sent me a tracksuit,
yes.
And I wore it.
Oh, shit. Oh, we got one right over there. We got one over there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I say those gays, and then I'm like double snapping, clapping.
We're like, those Bravo gays. Yes, Brooks Marks.
Yes. I support Brooks. Yes.
All right,
I support Brooks and all of the other kids' businesses on that show.
And by the way, I also just want to say before we wrap up, you have literally the two cutest children on all of Bravo.
I really do.
Your show may not be on, but they live on. They are adorable. So congrats on having cute kids.
Thank
you so much.
So cute. Do you guys want to do one last toast?
Yes.
One last toast to 10 years and Tiffany Moon, guys.
Oh my God.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys. Oh, my God.
Cheers to Tiffany Moon and your next chapter of the journey of journeying.
I have no clue what's going to happen.
Everyone go buy her wine and her candles, okay? Tiffany, thank you so much for coming on to send off this
tour.
Thank
you guys so much.
Thank you so much. Wow.
Wow. Thank you, Tiffany Moon.
Whoa. That was great. I love her.
So good. God, she's so beautiful in real life.
She is.
I don't know what I'm expecting. You know, if like I'm expecting you to come up here and just be fug, like after you've been beautiful on TV. Watch a lot of science fiction. Even more beautiful in real life. But tonight, we planned on keeping you here for 5 hours. So those
yes.
of you wondering... I feel like a lot of husbands just turned to their wives and said, how long is this supposed to be?
Yeah.
It's like church. You never fucking know. Okay.
Oh, and by the way, do I see a super premium sponsor in the audience? Is that?
I don't know. What am I supposed to see?
It's Miss Brenda Silva, everyone. Brenda Silva.
Hi, girl. You must be exhausted. You've been on this tour as long as we have.
So, for the final time this tour, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about.
Coming up on the reunion for the Real Housewives of Orange County.
You're very offended by the word pornography.
It's not pornography.
I think Merriam-Webster, who's a dear close friend of mine, would beg to disagree.
I'm not a narcissist. Andy, in your studio, do you have pictures of yourself?
Yeah, but I'm also a narcissist.
You know, I just like to tell Ryan, like, why don't you just treat me like a dog? Like, just treat me like a dog, and we'll be good.
We can do that later.
No, treat me like a dog.
We'll do a little bit later.
No, like, pat me on
treat
the
me
head.
Like,
rub
treat
my
me like
a dog.
Treat rub me like a dog. Can you treat. Make the dog look treat. At me? Make the dog treat. Can make the log
treat me
look
like
at me?
A dog better.
Can you kiss treat the dog? Like
dog
kiss the dog? Can you kiss the
treat
dog?
Like a dog.
Hug
better.
The dog?
Walk me.
Where's the dog?
I just peed on the floor.
Talk. I'm peeing.
I'm fetching.
Oh.
Wow. I could have blown up. Your family, Shannon Bedore. I knew David was having an affair. Auntie knew David was having an affair. You knew David was having an affair. The taco truck outside of Alfredo's knew you were having an affair.
Unfucking believable!
And scene.
So we open this reunion with the new Bravo thing where they show the backstage shots, like inside the Never Gonna Be an Actor studio. Which is fitting because we start with Heather. By the way, I've been drinking a lot less. I didn't go sober or anything like that, okay? I'm not insane. But I've been drinking a lot less, but not tonight, so...
I'm yeah. Good.
If anything seems off, that's why.
This is... I mean, this wine is good, guys.
Especially with the natural mixer, Tito's. Mm. So Heather shows up with her little gold lunchbox, which she's holding up to her face. You know, like, hello, this is how I get out of cars. And showing off her, like, fancy chocolate, which I didn't even Google the fucking chocolate. If I don't know your chocolate, you're not fancy enough, okay?
I'm surprised it wasn't chicken. You know, because Jen and I have a joke about chicken. You know, she ate it once. It's hilarious.
And then we cut to what I really need in a reunion, which is Shannon already sobbing in a makeup chair.
I know.
They're like doing her makeup, stretching her face back, you know. And she's like, you're not going to believe this. I don't even have a dress to wear to the reunion. It didn't work out with Bones. How can you not trust somebody named Bones?
And then Noella's in the corner saying, bloop. My first reunion. I'm popping that cherry, girl.
Pop that cherry.
I'm getting divorced.
Glad you got your vagina in your first line of the whole reunion. I mean, give credit where credit is due, girl. You can get that thing in anywhere.
Hi, Rachel. So I don't have any shoes or a dress, and well, to be honest, I mean, my marriage is long gone. I mean, lots of things are missing, and. Oh, is this not the... Oh,
I'm not really sure if you called the right Rachel, ma'am. I'm Rachel Smith.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Let me try again. Okay, Rachel, I've got the wrong shoes, Rachel. I don't know what to do.
I'm sorry, we are on the air right now. We're about to expose something huge.
Is this Rachel Maddow?
Yes, it is,
oh,
and you're
I'm
on...
crying out loud.
Hi, is... Okay. Let me tell you something. My dress is missing, and I need to get a dress. Is this Rachel?
Girl, that's bananas. But that's Rachel.
Oh, good. Are you a stylist by any chance?
Is this Rachel? Please tell me that this is Rachel.
Listen, I don't know about your shoes, but my father tricked my husband, Jacob, into marrying my sister, Leah.
Is this Rachel from the Bible? Who is your number in my phone?
Someone has to have my address. Okay, hello. Hi, this is Shannon Bedore of Television's Real Housewives of Orange County. I am looking for a dress in a nice, flattering silhouette. Is there something that you can help me with, Rachel?
Well, I got some EVOO for you instead.
Oh, it's Rachel Ray, my accent. A lot of Rachels on my phone. Lot of Rachels.
Oh, poor Shannon. What a fucking mess. So then Shannon's like, oh, you know what? I've got to stop and get some water. I've got some cotton mouth. And then they cut to a shot of Emily like, I don't know how I got this nosebleed. They're so open with the drug use now on Real Housewives. They're just like, cotton mouth and nosebleeds. Someone's like, you know, the bend in my elbow is really scabby. Can I get some makeup for this? Great.
So they all get together. They all arrive on the set. And by the way, after all that dress drama, I have to say, I thought Shannon's dress was the best dress she's ever had. She looked amazing. So you know what? Thank you, Rachel.
She looked like a chicken pox going to prom. People talking about that was a pink sparkling pox. But I love Shannon.
So I loved it. I really did like it.
I'm someone wearing a T-shirt in Old Navy, so I will remember that as I sling arrows at other people. But.
Welcome to the Real Housewives of Orange County Season 16. Joining me are the dynamic women and Dr. Jen of the OC, who prove again and again that the show that started it all is still worth the squeeze.
Even though the juice is basically just dried up tang powder by now, and we all know it.
Heather,
It's amazing to have you back here after all these years. Can you believe it's been 6 seasons since we sat together at a reunion? And then it cuts to her being like, I have frozen embryos in my wall.
I've immortalized my 4 frozen embryos in the etched window in my home. Each bird represents a popsicle version of an embryo, which is why it's etched and not stained.
And Kelly Dodd is there, and she's like, Oh, fuck off!
You're a dork!
Guy!
Dork!
How could you talk about that? I'm black!
Actually, Andy, it's very funny because it's the 10-year anniversary of when I started this show, and it's also the 7-year anniversary of when I shoved Wendy Malick into a wall on the set of Hot in Cleveland.
You know it's really sad when you have to remind somebody it's your 10-year anniversary. And it made me so warm inside that Heather had to be like, you know, Andy, it's our 10-year anniversary. And he was like... He's like, I've been here 5 minutes and I'm already exhausted.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have time for this shit. Man, this Jaden.
Jaden is going wild back there.
I mean, at his Instagram. Ben looked at it and it said, I don't make music for the ears. I make it for the soul. Well, my ears are hearing it.
Are we sure it's Jaden and not just the OC Reels back there?
I do whatever I want. Just whatever I want with no explanations.
I go wherever I want as long as there are no poor people there.
That song, by the way, is amazing. And the two of us have been listening to it nonstop for 5 days now, okay?
I feel like they know. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you guys know that we've been listening to this nonstop.
I'm trying to make it happen.
Like, look at all the non-shock happening. They're like, Queens, don't make this harder for us than it needs to be.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So Heather's like, yeah, it's our 10th anniversary, Andy. And Andy's like, you look just the same.
Grueling button knife claymation villains from Tim Burton movies really don't age.
Hey, Gina, you look fantastic, especially the hair. Looks like Superguts is still in business.
Congratulations on all the money you saved on that outfit. And, you know, of course, every year we give you props on incrementally improving your hair. You'll get there. Keep on trucking, Gina.
Hey, Emily.
Hi, Andy.
Congratulations on your 13th wedding anniversary. What does lucky number 13 have in store for you?
You're still married to a frog? Any news on when he's going to turn into a prince?
You know, we know he's great. You know, we just lift each other up. Well, I don't really lift him up. It's more like the bar comes down for him, if you know what I'm saying. But that counts. It's the same net difference.
Shannon! Poxa went to prom in a good way. Did Heather, your drug dealer, give you some drugs? You look fucking high as hell, Shannon! Shannon's like, how dare you? Can I get some water? I need some water.
I know. She does the old classic Shannon, the I'm so happy laugh, so I'm going to put my shoulders at my ears and go, yeah.
That's her.
I've never seen you do that in real life.
That's funny.
I've never been happier to have my daughters leaving me home alone and not married in a kitchen that has an oven around the corner in the hallway and no chandelier or basketball court in the basement. I'm so happy. Happy! I'm so happy!
I'm so happy!
She's like tied up in the back of a boat.
I know. I'm dizzy now from that.
Hi, Dr. Jan! Everyone's surprised you're an actual human being and not a beta tester flesh bot! Welcome to the show!
And she's like, thanks, Andy, thanks.
Thanks for having me here.
Thanks, Andy. He's like, so you're selling your house? Are we going to assume that Ryan is going to move with you? And she's like, time will tell, Andy.
But you're joking, of course, right?
Have you ever known me to tell a fucking joke, Andy? Ever?
Jen, just say, we're working on it. Have you ever smelled the smell of snow?
Snow smells, Andy. Snow smells.
All right, we'll work on that.
Noella! Noella, how are you feeling about your first reunion?
Oh, I'm excited and overwhelmed and unprepared, but I think that's a good place, getting divorced.
Well, I hope you brought a stack of receipts and not a stack of vaginas.
She's like, I'll take the latter, Andy.
Sandy?
A stack of receipts, okay.
No, I'll take a ladder to get on top of a stack of vaginas, Andy. I'm on the top now. Girl power, am I right, girls?
Whoa, well, this year our set is a little different. It's more hideous than it's ever been before. We are surrounded by icons of Orange County. We got the Huntington Beach Pier. We got the place where Shane Keough cursed out his mom. We got the Marshalls where Gretchen Rossi got her decor.
We got tires that are used to melt to inject into people's faces. We've got that painting of scores of people botulism killed before we learned it could be used to freeze our faces. And to top it all off, Tammy Knickerbocker's original gates that opened in the opening of the show.
Literally the saddest flashback we have ever seen. It's just Tammy in like 2007, before the market even turned, and she's behind the gates.
Did we have cell phones then?
She's just like behind the gates being like, I lived there once.
It was sad. She gets out of her car because she can't get through the gates, you know, poor thing. And they're watching the gates close, and she's like, yeah, you know, I really don't miss, like, the money. Fucking liar. It's like, boom, 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 you know, the lie detectors. I just miss the lifestyle, you know, like, I love my kids. And I was like, did you lose your kids?
I know.
Did they take your kids at the same time they took the gates? I think it was Bravo's way of showing us that this show has always depressed the shit out of us. That's
yes.
The point.
Yes.
We're like, why isn't this show more fun? And Bravo's like, this shit was never fun, you sick, dark fucks.
It was also a reminder that we once had a housewife who looked like the lead singer of Journey. I thought that was cool.
So, after a long hiatus from the show where she may or may not have gotten lost inside her house, Heather Dubrow made her triumphant return to Orange County.
So we now see the montage.
She used to live in a sterile McMansion before, and then she paid $900 million to move into a house that looked like a blown-up version of the lobby of a Hyatt Place. Heather Dubrow, roll the clap.
You're not supposed to make me cry at the top of this show.
I'm like, well, you have to cry at the top of the show.
You know, it's the second hardest job in the world, being a mother. The first is being the person that actually raises all of the children. Thankfully, it's not me.
And the third is the person who has to be passing the hors d'oeuvres at our parties. Never stop. Never stop.
The fourth is trying to get Reba to set when she's trying to finish a game of Candy Crush in her trailer. Okay? That woman can be a real diva, Andy.
So, Kelly from Cocoa Beach, Florida says, Heather, I thought you were a total ice queen, but seeing you with your daughters warmed my heart. You're the mother of the year, signed Terry Dubrow. That's weird.
You know, I thought you were a cop fitness with no hearts, no feelings, real emotions, and you're possibly a sociopath, and then dot, dot, dot. What a weird way to end a tweet, Heather.
Heather Dubrow, we love the way you do parties, and even though you did put an amuse-bouche as the second item on the menu, you are great and we love you. Signed, Mary Coudreau.
Wow.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that question. Thank you so much.
So he's like, what's it like to have two kids who are out of the closet, Heather? And she's like, I'm just glad to provide them with a very large closet, Andy. So if they're comfortable coming out, they can come out. If they want to stay in, there's plenty of decent clothing that they can choose from.
Heather's perfect mother nod kills me. Her eyes just open so wide, like, she looks like she's about to fucking... You know, like, when you your dad teaches you to catch a fish, and then he's like, grab it by the tail and just bang it on a rock. And you're like, what? It's that look. It's like, I've got the fish, I'm going to stay strong, and I'm going to bang his head against the rock. Totally normal. Totally normal.
Andy's like, well, I remember when I came out to my mom hiding...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. This ain't about you, queen. We know. You've got 10 books about it.
So then he's like, Noella... Noella, as a bisexual woman, how did it feel to see Heatherly's motherly side? She's like, oh, I loved it. I said, I love that your daughter is bisexual. Now she knows what it's like to be like a credenza.
Heather, you and Terry had issues, but now you're great. So how did you get to this place?
He built her a $50 million home. How the fuck do you think they got to this? That's the most expensive I'm sorry I complained about carpooling those little fucking monsters we created that I've ever seen in my life.
And then Heather literally does the same monologue she did in her confessional or some part during the season. She's like, well, you know... We have good days, we have bad days. We have good years, we have bad years. We have Porsches, we have Teslas.
Yeah. And then we see the clips of this. She's like, the worst times we've ever been through have been on this show, captured on camera, Andy. And we see them, and she's like, Terry, I'm going on a vacation. You have to take the kids to school. And he goes... Kill me. That's like her worst year of her life.
It was, because all of America saw us in a smaller house. It was terrible. Terrible.
1 acre, Andy. The worst year of my life. So Noella made a splash with Kocher, her marital sexcapades, and possibly vagina slapping up against each other at her husband's birthday year.
So Shannon's just giving a look down like, well, I know I'm going to get in trouble for Noella's storyline, so let's just show clips of that.
Let me just straighten up my dress a little bit and slide forward and then slide back again in my sofa.
I'm going to look back and forth to the lower half of the screen right now to see if there's any Chiron that is offensive to me.
Is it time for me to blow into an invisible straw? Because I'll do it. Windshield wipers? No.
So,
we're not there yet, but we get there.
Well, before you could say, sweet James, this marriage is over.
So then we get to this Noella clip, which, Noella... My husband, sweet James, the most amazing man who's ever created. Not only is he sexually attractive, he's the best partner, the best father. He chose the best font for his billboards on the freeways for his crash accident attorney signs that I've ever seen in my life.
Flowers for Noella? Flowers for Noella?
He sent me divorce papers to a flower delivery person.
So Andy's asking, like, oh, so how'd you guys meet?
Girl, now this, I love. Now, you know, I love mysteries. The only shit I listen to other than Real Housewives is, like, Dateline, you know, like, where they all start out and they're like, oh, the husband and the wife, everybody loved the husband. They just loved him. He's the best guy in the neighborhood. And then by minute 22, it's like, and then he brutally murdered her. And everybody, I love that kind of storyline, and I love a housewife's confession, because that's how I look at it. It's just a big mystery to me. You know, I always feel like there's something to be, like, uncovered. And the whole thing about Noella is this whole season, she's like, oh, yeah, I met my husband in a hotel lobby. We liked each other so much, we fucked in the hotel, and then we were married. And I was like, oh, that's a hoe, right? That's just like a hoe. Like, it's not even in a judgy way. It's like, that's a girl that you can, like, go outside and, you know, smoke with, at the very least. You know, I'm like, that's a hoe. You know, that girl's going to have access to a plane one day. I'm going to befriend her.
But not a passport.
But then you find out, you know, then there's all this gossip and Woodall Online, the famous French, you know, outlet, news outlet, Woodall Online, is like, headline, Noella a hoe. And everyone's like, how dare you? That she is not a hoe. How dare you? That is not true. And then Noella's like, I'm a hoe. I'm a hoe.
Yeah, I mean, I have to...
Yes! I love a housewife's confession, and she just breezes right through it.
Yeah, I actually really appreciate the fact that she just owned it. She's like,
I met him on a website, it was a 91, it's called Seeking Arrangement.
How is that where you find people who can arrange the chairs in your new home? That sounds lovely. No, it's a lovely arrangement.
They do flowers. They do the fruit and the flower arrangements.
They get the amuse-bouches ready for the first course.
No. She's like, it's just, it's naughty. It's naughty, Andy.
And he's like, Andy, of course, knows. Because, you know, Andy's on all this shit. So, Andy's like, anything you put your dick on to be a member of, Andy is on. Like, on all these sites.
Remember in Miami, he literally was like, well, I do go on to OnlyFans because I was a little bit bored. He's like, I jacked off a few times during the pandemic. Nothing to it.
So he's like, seeking arrangement, wow! And she's like, well, you know, I say, which I don't know why I wrote that down, I just thought it was funny. I say, Andy.
Well, she makes it sound like it's like, oh, that's pretty normal. She goes, you know, there are attractive girls and wealthy men, and that's the standard, that's all, like nothing new.
So I looked up, of course, seeking arrangement. I was like, men, we have to make a pact not to get a boner because we're about to go on the seeking arrangement.
I haven't looked yet. I haven't looked.
You know, we've seen all the gay shit, like the scruff, the rawr, whatever the bear one. What's the bear
scruff.
One?
Where it's scruff.
Like,
the grinder scruff.
Grinder's the
grinder scruff.
One. No, on grinder they'll be like, you fat. You're fat. You're gross.
So seeking arrangement.
Okay, so seeking arrangement. Sorry. It just becomes too personal. I'm going to be crying by the end of this episode.
I know. It's getting very confessional. We've been through a lot.
That is allowed.
Okay, so seeking arrangement. Is seeking arrangement illegal? Okay. Of course, you got to ask the questions. Okay, don't just put seeking arrangement. Be like, is Noella a hoe? And it says, okay, seeking arrangement. Though research about sugar dating is relatively limited, the analysis of prostitution laws and sugar dating practices that do exist have a... I love that Heather Dubrow wrote this.
Yeah.
The majority of sugar dating and other similar sex for money mutually beneficial arrangements are illegal as they are forms of prostitution.
Okay, so all that aside, prostitution should be legal in the first place. If you want to fuck me and you're uglier than me, I deserve something in return. That's just how it works. What are we going to change capitalism now? Come on!
Point is, Noella met the love of her life on seeking arrangement.
People fall in love as a waiter all the time. If I'm waiting on this hot guy down in the front and I fall in love with him, is it somehow bad because he gave me a tip? No. You know? You can meet people at work, for fuck's sake. Team Noella on this one, for sure.
Seeking arrangement, more like seeking derangement. Am I right, everyone? Okay.
We've all seen Pretty Woman. I think Julia Roberts deserved to be happy.
Maybe. So.
Not the real one. The real one's rude. Michael, the real one's totally rude. But the fake one.
So, Noella gives this weird thing. She's like, well, you know, once we realized that we could have children, we did the gathering of the family and the whole wedding thing, you know. Like, so you took photos of a fake wedding so we could tell your friends?
This was my favorite part. Well, you know, a piece of paper doesn't mean anything to me, Andy. Now, she's not talking about marriage. You know, most people are like,
or cash.
We don't need to get married. I don't need a piece of paper. She's talking about divorce. I don't need a piece of paper, Andy, to make divorce real to me. I'm like, the wife did. I mean, but the wife did, Noella. She needed the piece of paper. So she's making it this romantic thing like, well, you know what? I mean, I don't care about the actual piece of paper for the divorce. You know, we waited 4 years to cheat on his wife before we pretended to get married on a beach, Andy. And so he's like, she goes, so for anybody who's accusing me of only being with him for money, and Andy's like,
but you didn't care about the money. You met him on a website for attractive women meeting wealthy guys.
And yeah, that's... Well, he cared about whether or not I was attractive. And I was like, thank you. I love capitalism being explained.
I just think it's crazy that after all this, she's like, you know, I wasn't in it for the money. I'm like, you were on Seeking Arrangement.
Yeah. So what? Being it for the money is still like the guy, okay? I slept with a bagging person at a grocery store. I loved it. He got a Dairy Queen out of it. In more ways than one. I mean, he got me.
You know, when
he actually got a peanut buster parfait.
When this segment came on, I was like, Ronnie is going to just run around his hotel room for 10 minutes. He's going to get so excited by it, like Noella and all this stuff. I was like, finally, a season's worth of validation.
Yes, I love a confession. And you know, I've been reading this shit all season. Like, oh my God, Noella was a hoe, and then she found this guy, and then now she's pretending that he left her, but he didn't really leave her. She really left him. It's so bad. And it's all true, and Noella's just like, whatever, who cares?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
Well, you told Gina that you were not considering divorce, only to be served papers a few days later. Your ex maintains you were going to file for separation before he filed. Because this is the whole he said, she said. So Emily's like, well, you know what? They claim that they received notice from the attorney representing... Hold on, let me translate this for Shane. Mommy, daddy, separating, divorce... Puerto Rico, California, race, papers, money, and... Okay, Shane? Okay. Lawyer
Emily
to lawyer.
She's basically Craig Conover. She's like the lawyer that nobody actually called, but just keeps showing up to court. You know? It's like, what are you doing here, sir? And he's like, objection. That is a double line sew under loop on that pillow. They're like, we're not talking about pillows, sir. Please wait outside. So Emily shows up and just starts defending some case she's not involved in at all, which is typical because she's not involved in shit this season, except, you know, the stuff that she's making up in her fucking crazy squinty-eyed little head, okay? So she comes in and she's like, yeah, but he claims that he filed in Puerto Rico because he was trying to get jurisdiction in Puerto Rico. And that's why it was a race to see where jurisdiction could be established, because he was in trouble with taxes. And then he was trying to get taxes in Puerto Rico. So then you moved to Puerto Rico with your family and you established citizenship in Puerto Rico. And that's why he did it. I'm like, sounds fucking smart to me. I mean... The man owed millions in taxes, so he moved to Puerto Rico so he didn't have to pay them. And Noella was like, fuck yeah, I don't want to pay taxes with money I could be buying purses with. So she went with him. Then she got cast in a show and came back to L.A. to do the show. He didn't want to come, so she said, bye, ugly person with money. Do you know how many homely people I could fuck for their planes in Orange County? Bye! Adios, bitch!
And what was his reaction to you joining the show?
Oh, he was ecstatic. He was so ecstatic, he sent me flowers every day, but I kept forgetting to get them, you know?
So well, he maintains on social media that part of the problem was that you went all in on the show.
And Noella goes,
well, you know, if he had a problem with it, like, he never once took me to the side and listen, babe, I can't do this. It can damage our family.
And everyone's like, no, he definitely said that many times.
Well, look, he wanted her to do the show. He was trying to get her on the show for years. She finally did, but he couldn't do it because he was going to go to prison. So he was in Puerto Rico. She is like, I'm going to go be on TV. And he's like, okay. So she filed separation. Then he filed divorce. Then she came on the TV show and made herself a victim of divorce in a storyline. She sounds like a fucking mastermind to me. Like, who's arguing with her, especially in Orange County, okay? Like, I'm sorry that you're jealous. You married Shane. You know what I mean?
So then Andy is like, so you're saying that, like, basically if he said he didn't want to be on the show, you would have stayed with him? And she goes, yeah, I like my plane. I love my husband. Oh, and my child. I was like, wow, plane was number one on that list, everyone. Plane was number one.
Well, who wants to fly their child in coach? I mean... If you ever want to realize how much you hate your child, fly with them and coach, okay? She knows the important order. So Emily this whole time is like, oh, because I have the paperwork and I'm a lawyer. What kind of lawyer are you? What do you actually do? Because I have not seen any proof of your lawyering. Now, I'm not saying you're not a lawyer. What the fuck kind of lawyer are you? Are you that kind of lawyer you call when you have a parking ticket and you pay them, you know, a few hundred dollars to get rid of it? What kind? Because I haven't seen proof yet. Shut up, Emily. This is not your case.
Maybe it's maritime law. You know,
you didn't claim your pills, Emily.
You know what? You know what? Seeking arrangement is not allowed in maritime law. I'm sorry. So
Shannon's like, well, I just want to remind everybody that it is very difficult for me to be sitting here and listening to you not believe Noella's story about being divorced, because I have been divorced from a man named David, and it hurt me down into my soul. It broke me. It crushed me. And they're like, why are you talking?
Yeah. I know. She's like, I'm ready to pivot this back to my part of the show, please. Thank you. Thank you very much. So Noella's like, yeah, Emily, it's creepy. And Emily's like, oh, it's creepy? It's not creepy for me as an attorney who passed the bar at the fair and square to look at your case from a legal standpoint. And Noelle's like, well, I love this like part of the show. I'm like, honey, 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 honey.
It is, yeah. Emily and Noella in one season for us is a lot of Teddy. It's like
it's a lot. And then Dr. Jen in the mix is a lot of, it's like a bassoon concert.
I know. After recaps, we're like, why are we yawning so? We're like, you know when you start to yawn, but then you yawn like five times?
I know. So then we get into a controversy about Puerto Rico, okay? Because asking about this place in Puerto Rico. I'm like, well, so why did you go? Why did you? Basically, it comes out that Noella and James moved to Puerto Rico before the show. And so Noella's like, well, you know, with all the closures in California. I'm like, what, a Baja Fresh? Like, what are you talking about? And then Emily's like,
that was sad, though. That was sad.
And Emily's like, well, is Turnier released a statement that, like, you moved to PR, like, Puerto Rico as a family and became citizens of Puerto Rico? And Shannon's like, well, I mean, I don't see, like, it's not crazy. I mean, like, you know, like, I don't see why it's outrageous to have two homes, you know. Some people have a second home. Some husbands even have a second woman, you know. It's just people have a lot of second things, you know.
And Emily's like, but what I'm trying to establish here, Your Honor, is that you moved to Puerto Rico, you became citizens of Puerto Rico, you did an Instagram in a bikini with your ankle behind your head about moving to Puerto Rico, and they show the picture of Noella, like literally her head is like this, and she's like, move to Puerto Rico.
Oh! New resident. And Emily's, like, laying out this case. She's like, well, it was shown. It was substantiated by evidence that was shown on Instagram. And they cut to Gina, and Gina's like, she cannot follow. Gina has no idea what happened in the past 10 minutes. She's like,
Gina's so traumatized. She just, once it gets to court things, she's just like,
I know.
She's had enough, poor thing. So then Noella's like, what's so weird? He's registered in California. We got married in California. We're voter registered in California. His signs are in California. He cheated on his wife, impregnated me off a sugar daddy website in California. Welcome to California, right?
Hey, I think actually this set does have the hammock where Sweet James cheated on you three times. So Andy's like, so what's the status of your marriage now? And she's like, well, officially divorced, and now we're deciding custody, but the cool thing is that now I can get married. And Heather just squints at Heather hates this. Heather's like, how could you fix your state without coming on the 7-year stitch?
I mean, Heather's eyebrows are fully arched, like all the way. She's just like, her thin lip.
So Andy's like, so I hear you have a hot new young guy. Let's see those chiseled abs and that chest. And we see a photo of Noella with literally, it's like Guy Fieri had a love child with Fred Durst. Noella.
It's like someone took Guy Fieri by the ankles and just like started pounding him into place. Bacon grease and despair, you know? He smells like bar rot. The guy's like,
he's like, just got off work at Dick's Sporting Goods. I was like, listen, Noella, despite everything else, Sweet James was a dick, and I wanted her to get some real hot dick, and then this is what you do? Come on, Noella.
I don't think that's how it works.
No, daddy issues.
Well, money issues. Money issues, sir.
Aren't they the same thing?
I don't know. Okay, so let's see. So she shows this guy, and so we're like, okay, so you're with someone new, right? And she's like, yes, Bobby, he's 33. She does her, like, shimmy laugh thing where she's laughing, like, everyone's laughing with her, but nobody is.
Yeah, everyone's
like, fucking die. They all hate her. So Andy's like, well, I heard he bought you a company. And she goes, oh my God, Andy. How did you hear that, Andy?
Well, there's like a full page ad in the Penny Saver that's like, I got a company. And then I cut to Heather Dubrow doing like a really performative inhale. She's like,
Heather Dubrow's like, my husband has bought me about 12 companies. So get in line, bitch. So, of course, and Noelle is like, we got a trademark. But it's a dildo company. Of course.
Of course.
Of course, Bobby, the ever romantic Prince Charming, is like, hey, baby, you want a dildo company? Welcome to Flavortown, honey.
And she goes, what can I say? I'm good. So so then basically they're like, Heather goes, well, it's a good stack, apparently. Get it. It was a reference to the stack of vaginas. Can I do my chicken joke yet? I've been holding this bucket of chicken forever. So Noella's like,
well, I think, well, unfortunately, Bobby, he says the laws of Flavortown are that you can't cheat. So I think my stack of vagina days are tired.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bobby really looks like a one-woman man.
Yeah, right?
He's like, listen, we've got 3 different hepatitises, all right, babe? We're going to, like, keep the circle tight, all right? So the next segment, well, first I just have to give Noella, because this is kind of the end of Noella's segment, but, like, congratulations, you fucking Looney Tune. You came onto the... I thought I was going to absolutely hate this person. I kind of feel like I should morally, but she's done a great job pissing off Heather Dubrow.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Noella has earned her spot. She's I'm not asking you guys to be friends with her. I'm just saying appreciate her chaos.
Yes, appreciate what... None of us like saccharin, but we all drink a Diet Coke now and then. You know, some things are necessary. She does not give a fuck, and she owned every lie while adding new lies on top of those lies.
Yeah,
it's
love
lie
that.
Pie. It's like a lie casserole, and as a Southerner, I can appreciate a good casserole.
Yeah.
So, thank you
made
for
me
my
a
lie
casserole.
Pie.
No one made me a casserole. Okay, so now we go on to, hey! This season, Heather and Shannon's attempt to start fresh was spoiled by old rumors, and much like a table of untouched sushi that's not on a naked woman, get a job, get a job. It seemed like their friendship was quickly going rank, okay?
I'm sorry to be disgusting, but can we not move from stack of vaginas into rank sushi right away? Like, can I have a break? I mean, they are so gross on this show, and you know they did it on purpose, just to trigger me.
So they do a montage. They show a montage of Shannon and Heather's, like, you know, like, up-and-down relationship. And, of course, you knew they had to do it. They do it, like, 5 times this episode. The montage is like, oh, it's so great to reconnect with you. Oh, I miss you. It's been so many years. Ah, you are just, you know, we've always just gotten, like, if you ever come for me or my family again. This will cost you more than my friendship.
So Andy's big question, like after all this drama of the sushi party, is where did the sushi go? What happened to it? And she's like, you know, it went to poor people, Andy, okay?
They refuse to eat from cans now, which is why you never give poor people elevated food.
Okay. You know, we're really trying to get Coco into Haverford, so we had her distribute sushi to the poor and took many photos of it. It's going to go in her new book called Feeding Fish to the People. Thank you, Andy. Thank you.
So the next segment is all the one that got away, Nicole James.
Now, yes.
For those of you who don't watch this show, so this girl comes on named Nicole, and Shannon knows Nicole from, I don't know, some dog park or something, okay? And Shannon heard that Nicole, back in the old day when she was trying to be Pamela Lee and getting, like, you know, like trunks put in her boobs, like literal trunk compartments, you just wave your ankle under and the trunk opens. You know, you can keep shit in there, okay? It's got a spare huge, had a botched boob job by Terry Dubrow. So Shannon heard this rumor and told the girls off camera drunk, and then the girls went and tattled because they realized how rich Heather was, and they were like,
Heather, Shannon is trying to make it look like your husband's a bad surgeon on TV.
And that's when Heather brings out her, if you ever mess with me or my family ever again. So that's the explanation. So here we are in the Nicole James fight.
Yeah. So basically, Judy from Judytown asks, at the beginning of the season, Shannon, you seem really hopeful about your friendship with Heather. So why mention the lawsuit to Gina and Emily? And Shannon's like, well, I didn't know it was the same girl because that girl was young and slutty, like someone who would walk on a beach with my husband. I was like, oh, I loved you in Van Wilder. But then it turns out, I was like, I saw this girl, and she looked lost and displaced, and I saw the look of sadness in her eyes. I was like, well, that does remind me of a younger slut from my past, but I wasn't sure.
I had no idea if it was the same girl.
And so then they show a clip, and he's like, really, Shannon, are you sure you're not lying? She's like, nope. Was it the same girl?
I don't know.
Is it the same girl?
No.
Did I know?
No.
Could it be?
Yes.
So she has a picture, and so we see this picture of Nicole in 2003. It was like,
girl, it's
looking at
us. It's all of us in 2003. Yeah. You know, like, look at your shit from 2000. We're all like,
it was like if someone took like an extra from Bring It On and put like the Long Island medium hair on her.
Lived
and boobs.
Lived it. But they cut, they're like, Shannon, are you lying? She's like, nope. And then they cut to a scene of Shannon and Heather having lunch. And Shannon's like,
well, back when I knew Nicole Weisler, she looked totally different, like Pamela Anderson Lee.
I was like, caught Shannon. Like, did you not remember filming this scene?
So she's like, I didn't know, and I was hoping it wasn't. I thought maybe the lawsuit was settled. I mean, it was 20 years ago, you know. And Heather's like, but who cares? I mean, that was 20 years ago. It was dropped. And she goes, well, by the way, Gina is the one who brought it up at Javier's.
I'm sorry, I'm only familiar with Alfredo's. What is Javier's?
And she's like,
yeah, well, Gina was the one who brought it up when Heather was in the bathroom. And I was like, whoa.
I was like, I'm going to do a double zipper mouth. No, no, no.
And Emily's like, well, what I think what Gina was trying to say at that time.
Let Gina respond.
Well, I was encouraging you to do the right thing, Shannon.
And Gina's like, of course, Shannon's like,
well, what was the right thing then? She goes, to tell Heather, because it seemed like something you were trying to plant for later.
She's like,
I would have never brought this up on camera. Emily would have. It was supposed to be for Emily. It's like when you plant a plant here and it grows in the yard next door. What am I supposed to do? I'm sorry, bluebonnet seeds fly. What do you want me to do?
And she's like, you know what? She's like, I assumed it worked out. I mean, they've been friends for 8 years. I just didn't know that Heather Dubrow was friends with skanks. That's all. And so Gina's like, well, it's not that big of a deal. I'm like, don't know, Gina. You don't get to say it's not that big of a deal after you caused all this drama, Gina.
Yes. Because Gina was like,
rich person, have a seat. The person slightly richer than me tried to bring you down, but you're much richer than her. Take the bitch down. Also, I love private planes. P.
pink jackets and skincare lines. So whatever you could do, whatever you could do.
Thanks for the sushi, by the way. So then,
Gina's got like a Michael Kors from Marshall's purse full of old sushi.
It's a hard knock life. It is. It's a hard knock life.
Shannon is just losing it. She's like, oh, really?
So it's me who started this whole thing, and I'm supposed to bring it up on camera, and I'm supposed to try and ruin someone's life?
And they're like, but you are, Shannon. And Shannon's like, how dare you?
It's my favorite Shannon. And then she just stops and goes,
can I get some water? Because I'm pretty, I have cotton mouth.
I have a cotton mouth. It's a condition I have.
I need that.
It's a condition that comes from your children going to college and leaving you home alone.
I drink the water, but then it doesn't hydrate me. It doesn't work.
It's not.
Shannon does the thing that I love. She is so whipped up in a tizzy, and she's like, stop interrupting me. I'm not going to start yelling. I'm like, literally all of our eardrums are
losing her fucking. And I love that Shannon, because I love Shannon, right?
Yes.
Okay. Obviously.
We have been Shannon fans since the beginning. Since the beginning.
Shannon is really doggable, and I know, you know, me saying I love Shannon after all the shit I've talked, but that's how I love. You know, it's my love language. Hatred is my love language, so. But I love her. But I love that she's just such a Karen about everything. She can't even get through this without Karening out. She's like,
well, you know what? The water doesn't work the way it's supposed to. Can I get someone to fix the water? I need water that hydrates me.
I'd like to speak to the manager of Sparklets, please. So Emily
has this bullshit defense. This is the biggest bullshit defense, which I feel like it's such bullshit I should actually really appreciate it because that's what I want on a reality show, huge bullshit. Yeah. So Emily goes, come on, Shannon, you know how this works. You told two people on the show about two other people on the show at the very beginning of the season. Did you honestly think that would never come up? That's like bullshit to think that. You pulled the pin in the grenade and you handed it to Gina and me. That's what you did. I'm like, no. She gave you a grenade. You guys pulled the pin out, and you guys threw it.
Yes. She could have handed you the grenade, but you still ran into a mall house and detonated it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Shannon was...
She may be Osama. That doesn't make you not terrorists.
Shannon was like, oh, well, I found this lovely decorative turtle, I believe. Would you like it as a gift? Oh, and it even has a little... If you pull it, it's going to say something. It'll say, like, hi. Oh, Hattie, would you like it?
Sure.
It's the whole Vanderpump thing. It's like, you made me be a bitch. No, you a bitch already. I encouraged you, okay? It's called being a good friend, seeing potential in somebody, and encouraging more of it.
So Heather's like, can we just take it down to the core of this, of why I was upset?
Oh, you want to talk cores? You want to talk cores? Four core friends used to be five. Count them. Put the kibons on. Count them.
Listen, I got a lot of comments that are blaming me for, like, blaming me and Emily and Gina and not Shannon and also saying I was a great actress, but whatever. And this is where the bullshit...
I love when Ben gets a good solid.
Listen, I auditioned for Frasier, okay? I was almost Lilith.
But they didn't like method actors, so...
Unfortunately, that was the day I tried my Cockney accent, and unfortunately, they didn't want Lilith to sound like, Oi, governor! So they put me back in the attic in Syracuse. So anyway, so she's basically like, look, I'm not mad that it came out. I'm just mad because I met with you so many times. You just never brought it up. And then, to be fair, it is kind of funny because they cut to flashbacks of Shannon being like, oh, I'm so excited to see that Nicole again. And I just saw her social media. And I saw that flashback Friday to 2003. And I was like, oh, who does that remind me of? Oh, gosh, Platinum Blonde, you know? Any backstory there, Heather?
She goes, you had ample opportunity to tell me, Shannon.
And Shannon's like,
hell no, you would have screamed at me anyway and blown up. I'm not going to bring that to you on camera. Are you kidding me?
And Heather's like, you broke the code, Shannon.
My congratulations, Shannon. That's like the climax of every movie. Like, you did it. You broke the
I know. Yeah, seriously, the net. We all remember that, 96.
Oh, Sandra, so, I love you.
I know. Remember how long it took for her to get that stuff on that little floppy drive? She's like, hurry up. They're coming. Hurry up.
That was before even flash drives. And she's like, oh, my God, I've taken a typing class. Am I going to get an Oscar for this? Oh, she thought.
Oh, my God, we're almost online.
Yeah,
so then,
I love her.
So Heather's,
and in her new movie, she's kind of playing a Real Housewife, Sandra Bullock. I was like, finally, you're coming down to my level, you know?
And she lives here, right in Austin.
In Austin,
right?
Yeah.
So then, Texas.
Sandra Bullock lives in Austin? What? What?
So anyway, so Heather's like...
Stalkers.
Heather goes, listen... This isn't some side hustle. I'm not making trucker hats. I was like, whoa, don't bring Robin Dixon into this.
Oh, shit. What the hell?
I'm not having my husband drive around a garbage truck or pretending to flip homes. You are lucky Juan Dixon is not here.
This is our bread and butter, even though we don't eat in either of those things. You want to bring up a lawsuit that could potentially damage my husband's career. I'm like, you know what will damage your husband's career? The Real Housewives of Orange County.
Yeah. Also, fucking up somebody's trunk boobs, okay? If your husband doesn't want his career ruined, he should learn how to put a spare tire in a pair of boobs, okay? So Shannon's like, well, I was only bringing it up because it didn't make sense, which... Shannon not able to take responsibility also kills me. I love it.
Yeah.
So Heather's like,
I just feel betrayed because you were the one good person that I left on good terms with. I've texted you over the years. I texted when I heard you were getting divorced.
I'm like, is that it? How is that texting her over the years? Shannon doesn't need one text. She needs 18 texts.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes, and a billboard. Sweet James billboard. So then, yeah, Heather's basically, and then Heather says the reason why she was so angry at Shannon versus the other girls is because the other girls texted immediately
to lick her ass.
To get a private plane.
Yes.
And Shannon didn't.
Personal corn liquor over for the other girls.
So then Heather brings up the real ammunition. She goes, listen, Shannon, the reason why I was super pissed was because 8 years ago, I protected your family, okay? I gave them so much sushi, so much sushi. I knew David was having an affair. And by the way, you knew David was having an affair. The world knew David was having an affair. Well, by the way, she's right. We all knew David was having an affair, right?
In the same way we all know fucking Terry Dubrow's fucking other people. We had no proof, but of course we all turned to each other and said, of course he's fucking other people. You think Heather is his sex life till death do us part? Hell no. And if you don't believe me, you might want to check out Bravo and Cocktails on Instagram.
So then we get a flashback to like a season like 12 reunion where Heather has very severe bangs. And we just see this great flashback of Shannon sitting with David. And Shannon's like,
yes, everything is fine. And we're happier than we've ever been. And... we wake up every day and we smile, and I definitely do not have 30 to 40 negative thoughts a day. I'm a happy person.
I'm a happy person.
A happy person.
The way that you knew Shannon was full of it was she would always look down to the ground, but lift her head like she was looking straight up at the camera. She would be like this. Well, David and I are very happy. I'm just spreading my rayon here to make sure that everything is straight, but David and I are very, very happy.
Shannon was the worst liar. And then it cuts to David, and he's like, well, dear,
Shannon is an amazing woman. She is the best wife. And, of course, all I think about incessantly is my children and my marriage.
We are so happy, and if I read sad, it's only because I may have some cosmic debris in my rectum at the moment.
David Bedore makes him in it because you have to like marinate in the anger that's just seething there, the wide-eyed anger where he's like, when my eye starts twitching, I'm like, I got it. I got David Bedore.
So when Heather says this, we come back and Shannon goes, how dare you?
How dare you?
Heather goes, I'm talking now. Excuse me,
I am a wealthy person.
I get more tax breaks than you. Everybody quiet.
Did I give you Panda Express or did I give you Nobu? My turn.
So when she says, Heather's like, yes, everyone knew that your husband was having affairs and I could have blown up your entire family and I didn't. And Shannon goes, oh, well,
thank you, Heather. Thank you very much, Heather.
And she goes, you are welcome.
So Shannon's been saying, because Heather's saying, like, we all knew he was having an affair, and Shannon was like, you're saying I knew he had an affair? And then Jenna goes, well, actually, I did know he had an affair because we were going to a relationship boot camp, and have you ever lied at a foam tombstone before? It's very revelatory.
Here lies Shannon Bedore.
So Tula from Casserole says, Heather, how do you get off threatening Shannon like a mob boss when you look like all you can lead is a little bubble around the kitchen is a gerbil trying to run the hell away? And Heather's like, listen, how dare you?
No, you can't do it right. It's how dare you?
So Heather's like, I was very upset. When it comes to my family, my nannies, Alfredo, or the 6 people in charge of running the pizza oven, I will get insane. This is my life's blood. You don't mess with them.
They said your husband gave a botched boob job, okay?
Yeah.
Listen, every cupcake maker just makes a little flat blob every once in a while, okay? We all make mistakes.
Yeah, it's like, as the legendary Karen Huger said, you have to make millions to lose millions. So then, just because it's fun, out of nowhere, they just are like, if you ever, they just roll it again. They just roll it again. If you ever come from my family or the Nobu sushi I gave to you.
So she's like, Shannon's like, well, then, because listen, you can try and overthrow a queen on these shows. You can try and make somebody look stupid. You can never out-victim Shannon Bedore.
Never.
Jesus Christ could not out-victim Shannon Bedore, okay? And he's, like, literally the most put-upon martyr in the world.
Yeah.
At least in my childhood. So Shannon's like,
so then you threaten my family? The one thing that gets me teary-eyed, the one thing! Well, you know, there is pollen.
Yeah.
And pollution. Pollution.
Missing reunion dresses, those will get me teary-eyed.
Yes, those will get me very, very flat tie. I got a flat tire. It was very dramatic.
Horrible. Cotton mixed with rayon. What a mix. When teary, when, I will cry.
When Katie Couric left the Today Show, tears everywhere.
Hoda Kotb told me to put tea bags over my eyes. They're still stained. Tears.
They were out of 80-20 ground beef, and it was just, I had to go to 85, and it was not right.
Non-filtered air conditioning air, homes built on non-diamond foundations.
Chandeliers without switches that make it go up and down.
Have you ever seen a snail without a home on its back? Very, very, it looks like a crawling booger. Tears.
Rutabaga.
Endive.
Yeah.
Who even came up with that word?
So,
but beyond all that, my children, I am a single mother. I'm a single mother.
I love how she said it, though. She goes, the one thing that gets me teary-eyed are kids, because I have them 100% of the time.
I just like the thought of Shannon just giving birth all the time. Like, I have kids 100% of the time. Here comes another one.
Shannon's just exhausted. She's just always having a baby.
Just dropped one. No one actually used the afterbirth as moisturizer. Isn't she glowing?
The Duggars have nothing on me.
Noella is, like, so stunningly beautiful. That's why I said that. It's so rude. But she is so stunningly beautiful and well-moisturized. Like, she literally sits there and glows. I'm like, what? What are you using?
So then Heather goes, so the Heather's trying to now be like, Shannon, for the record, I would never, ever sue you. Because, I mean, honestly, what am I going to get? A Bret Michaels bandana? I mean, for crying out loud.
What am I going to get? A rental house that looks like a Long John Silver's? I can't.
I mean, literally, you live inside an Instapot, okay?
Heather pretends she's crying, which is so funny because I just feel like plants are dying all over the studio, you know? Every time Heather's like, oh,
I have children. I understand you are a single mother.
You know, and then a ficus just wilts. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Tammy Knickerbocker has appeared at the gates behind her, like, remember, remember.
Tammy Knickerbocker at the set gates.
I'm home. I made it home.
I don't miss the lifestyle. Just my children.
Quinn Fry appears next to her. I'm a cougar. That's a deep cut, everyone.
Thankfully, you know, I know this show is going a little long, so thankfully Emily and Gina are coming up, because you know what I have to say about them.
So,
not much. You're welcome. You're welcome, husband.
This season, Shane finally passed the bar, technically, and Emily celebrated it in all the bars.
Which, no, she actually did not. She, like, got wedding photos. So then
Emily's whole storyline this season is both like, wow, I'm like the biggest drunk of all time, while also being like, also I'm a lawyer. It's like, what are you trying to do this season?
Yeah.
I need more focus from you, man.
Until you get arrested in Florida and then break out of your handcuffs and tell all the officers that they're gonna fucking die and get a bologna sandwich thrown in your head, you're not the biggest drunk of all time, ma'am.
The way they treated me in that jail, I know what it's like to be incarcerated, and the only thing that saved me was cabaret. Hit it, boys.
So
Andy's like, oh, so Anne from Analsec says, Emily was so fun this year. I love when she told Shane he could beg her. Gina, what other wild things does Tequila Emily do?
And Gina's like, she's wearing two grocery store quinceañera cakes on her shoulders, Andy. Like, what do you want from me? All right? She's nuts. She's a drunk. It's hilarious.
So then they have, like, you know, it's kind of serious. There's, like, nothing funny about it because they're talking about, like, the Innocence Project. But there actually was something funny because that's really cool. Like, it's really cool that she's participating in that, she's volunteering. Like, my hat is, I don't have a hat, but if I had it, it would be off to her, you know? But what made me laugh is that while Andy's, like, complimenting her on it, out of nowhere, someone activated the Roomba on the side of the couch, and Dr. Jen is like, oh, hey, and Emily, I could be an expert witness if you need a medical... medical witness.
Where the fuck has Dr. Jen been? All of a sudden, it's like...
If you ever need a medical witness for any of these, like, Innocence Project cases...
Yes, everybody's going to the Innocence Project because their bad filler got them caught in a life sentence, Jen.
Oh, you know what's going to get them off the hook? If someone comes and gives them a cockamamie brain scan out of nowhere.
Your brain scan is telling me that you're innocent. Sorry.
What? Listen, we still don't have proof that you're innocent, but your angry 11s are gone. So, you know what? Go back out into society. We're ready. You look less angry, so I think you'll be less angry. Let's go.
If the glove doesn't fit, you must use fillers.
Jesus Christ.
That was literally like my favorite thing. Like, just out of nowhere, Dr. Jen offering her legal expertise.
So then we talk about, you know, Emily's like daddy issues. Wah, wah, wah. Okay, you know, it's very sad. I don't care right now. I don't want to make fun of it. So then we go over to, So this is what I want to say about this entire segment. How Gina pronounces orthodontist is just not okay, okay? I know that Gina is like pretending she's got some crazy thick accent where she's like, every day she's like, not that many syllables in a word, even in Long Island, Gina, we know. But Gina's whole,
me and Mia went to the author Donna.
Like, you went to see an author Donna? What'd she write?
An author Donna.
Shut up.
No one says that. There's not a city or a state or a county. There's not even a county where they say, Apadana.
So Andy introduces it. He goes, well, after years of setbacks, this season Gina was thriving, driving, and looking all glowed up. Let's look at the new and improved Gina. And then just cuts to her being like, I need an exorcism. Things are out. If exorcism is your rebound.
Gina's whole storyline started 2 weeks ago. The exorcism, her main storyline.
So he's like, so what made you get that crazy thing where a lady came over and waved at a window? And she's like, well, the night that we came home from Cabo, it was the middle of the night. And I like, shut up. And I looked at my door and I saw something, okay? It was my front door, a very small house. I was scared.
But she did say that, right? She said, it was the middle of the night, we'd been out, I shot up, and I heard something.
I was like, is that a quote? Is that what she said?
Yeah. She's like...
The confessions. There's drug confessions all over this episode, I'm telling you.
I saw it. It was a little girl, and that's when I realized, it's Mackenzie's child. I was terrified.
So we talk about her demon storyline and stuff like that. And then Matt, like, how could you make up with Matt? She's like, why don't you roll that clip of the Athadana scene again?
So they do, and Matt's just, like, the hottest, like, villain of all time, you know? Like, he's terrible. We all know that we hate Matt, you know,
on a visceral level. He is a hot villain.
But then they show him, and Gina's like, ah, Athadana.
He's like a soap opera villain, you know?
Here we are at the Athadana.
It's like when you find somebody who can match your bad pronunciation of orthodontist, like it's love, you know what I mean? Just admit it.
By the way, I'm going to go over to Jada and be like, if you ever play your music loud again, you will lose more than my friendship.
Listen here, Jaxton.
So, Gina, pissed from smelling snow, says, Gina, you and Heather's relationship is giving me life.
Literally nobody typed that ever on Twitter or anywhere else.
No one. No one was like, I love Gina and Heather together.
But I really liked it because when he says that, it gives Shannon the looking down, but I'm not mad look opportunity. Because he's like, your relationship with Heather is amazing. And Shannon's like,
I'll just straighten out my dress one more time. Okay.
It's like the cat clock, you know, that you see in movies. Like
Felix.
12 o'clock.
So then, so now Heather is trying to do one of these like moments where she's like of the people. She's like, you know what it was? We're both from New Yorkers. You know, it's like, where'd you go to school? Where'd you have that hot dog one time? Where'd you buy that Hermes bag?
You need to put a pin in it, you fucking asshole!
Like clips of Shannon just losing her mind. So Andy gets a call from Benjamin, his baby, little Benjamin.
Little Ben. It was
and
so
he's
cute.
Like, hey, buddy!
And he's like, hi, Daddy, are you in California? What are you doing, Daddy, in California?
So cute.
And he's like, I'm with a bunch of middle-aged, rubber-faced women being mean to each other for no reason. What are you doing, Bunny?
Noella's like, hi, sweetie, I'm getting divorced, and I own dildos, and I love to lick a woman's box. Get to sleep well, baby.
The rumor for a long time has been that Andy's baby is really one of the birds on Heather's etched window. Do you guys think so?
No. No.
I've just heard it. I don't know that I think it. But I'm just, every time we see that little Benjamin now, I'm just waiting to see a... Like a finger point or a lip purse, or when his eyes just turn all black.
I would love that.
Like, if you don't give Benjamin his juice, do his eyes turn black and fog just start to rise up above around him?
I love that. He's adorable, though. I love that. I love that. I love that. Can I touch? Can I touch fetus wall?
So then we move back to the no one cares, Heather, okay? I spilled pizza on my purse. No one cares, stupid. So Andy's like, so Shannon, what did it mean when Gina's parents came up to you and shook your hand and said, thank you for Mike Fell, who saved Gina from going to prison again for love? That was hilarious!
So we get a montage of Heather and Gina's friendship, and Heather, we just see, it's just so hilarious, just like how Gina just has dollar signs in her eyeballs, because Heather's like, I want her to think of me as her fairy god, Heather. Gina's like, oh my god. So then we see them like walking through New York City, the old pizza sauce on the purse thing, you know. And it culminates with Shannon being like, Gina, put a pin in it. Put a pin in it.
So we get to the reason we all care about this. So Shannon's like, well, it was very sweet when her parents thanked me because we did talk for a very long time, much longer than Gina actually spoke to me, which was something to say. But, you know, Gina brings up that I bring up her DUI all the time, but I promised to bring it up. Do you remember me promising never to bring it up again, Gina?
She's like, well, yeah, she did do that, which is kind of like, your whole beef with Shannon was that she talks about the DUI a little bit too loosely, and you give her all this shit, and then it turns out that you told Shannon, she was like, okay, yeah, I'll stop doing that, and you're still making her like the villain of the season, or trying to.
Well, what else is Gina gonna do? I mean, her whole storyline is trying to get some dude to marry her after she's already moved 6 children into a shoebox, getting money from Heather, and going to an Athadana. Which nobody even knows what that is, okay? Bless her heart, at least she's making some kind of an effort. I'll give her that, because she needs to go. Time to go. Bye. Unemployment. Get out. Emily's like, but you know what she really means? And Shannon's like, can I talk to her? You are always coming in the middle. What the hell is this? Like, Shannon just loses her mind, right?
Yeah. And so Emily's like, why are you even talking like that? I just had an opinion.
Am I allowed to have an opinion?
Yes, and you're allowed to have a face that looks like a puckered butthole, but we don't have to like it, okay? So Shannon's like, well, I don't expect things to be tit for tat, but you spent the first season gunning for me! Which, of course, Shannon's going back to Gina's first season, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
And Gina's like, gunning for you? I don't gun for anyone, Shannon!
Shannon's telling everyone your husband got sued for a bad boob job. Shannon's jealous of my skincare line. Shannon's trying to hurt me by trying to be nice to Noella. Shannon's jealous of my friendship with Heather. I'm wearing an off-the-rack crop top dress from Zara because Heather didn't buy me anything. Okay, that one wasn't about Shannon, but still.
So Shannon's like, when I have my kids, 100% of the time, and I'm getting blasted. You're pointing fingers. You're blasting at me. I like to call it finger blasting. You're finger blasting me. Did I say something? Why are you looking at me like that?
And I went through a horrible divorce. This is outrageous. Because then you went through a divorce 2 years later.
And I'm like, is Shannon mad that Gina went through a divorce storyline after her? I love this show, you know?
So Gina says something like, oh, I have the good fortune of getting divorced, and I love this, because I don't think she even knew she was doing this, but Shannon goes, let me finish. This is what you do. I was like, but this is, I guess I was the only one who cared about a this is what you do moment, right? No. It's okay. It's okay, guys.
But I was left with my kids alone. Just a wealthy white woman alone with grown children in a mansion.
Do you know what it's like to have two fairly independent daughters who can drive and a husband who pays alimony and another daughter who's actually off at college. You know how hard that is?
Oh, yeah. Look at me. I'm just so lucky. I got a DUI. I got a divorce. Just lucky me.
And she's like, you stop talking. You. This is what you do. You cut people up.
Like Shannon's head is about to pop off of her. And Shannon goes, I at least wait. I wait for a breath until I lose my shit.
Look at you, you amateur. You're an emotional amateur.
Can I get some more water? This water's still not working very well.
You know, I'm probably going to lose my voice this reunion. And, you know, because
she literally says, because I like to wait for a logical gap to speak.
So Gina goes, you know what? You're going to lose your voice because you did too many ding-dong things this year. Now you're coming to pay the piper.
And Emily just goes,
ding-dong. That's a classic Gina put down. So next week, the reunion concludes.
Dr. Jen, you're the expert. Who here had the best work done? It's a trick question, so don't feel bad if you fuck it up.
Heather, what do I say, Heather? What do I say, Heather? Heather?
Listen, I do not need people to walk on eggshells around me. I am a tough person! Until you try to mix a little polyester with a little rayon with a little cotton, I will cry. Tears will come, I'll admit it.
You were trying to throw Nicole under the bus. You know, you were really trying to fire Emily up.
You had the audacity to say, do you have any friends, Shannon? Three point five cores, bitch!
You know what's mean-spirited? Watching John tell me I can go fuck myself. How aggressive he was towards me.
Oh, for Christ's sake, you could go through a grocery store line and they tell you to fuck off, you loser!
And that brings us to the end
of Real Housewives of Orange County. You guys...
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Courtney Shamazing Shawdell. Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels. Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClelland.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
She's our queen, Marie Levine.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors, always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She leaves us in stitches, it's Catherine Taylor.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Kristen the Ruby Rubano.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Paging Paige Mills.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.